Good evening, I'm C. Kim Gabadeli. You're watching Stockwatch. Thank you so much for making the time. Tackling your questions in studio tonight, Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective and Ian Cruikshanks from the SAIRR. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392. You can also email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV. You can use the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thanks for your time.
Good
to
today,
the long wait is finally over. Last night, we finally have a cabinet. We had a JSE closing higher and the Rand slightly retaining its gains, even though we know that emerging market currencies are under pressure.
JSE closing higher?
Yeah.
Yes, but since when? You know, it hasn't changed the long-term trend yet.
Yeah.
And I think we want to look at where how we are being valued. Look at the Rand exchange rate. And yes, it went to 1490 and now it's 1460. It's still incredibly weak over the last year's period. And there is a foreigner's view of South Africa, and that's a worrying factor. Confidence will take time to be restored.
Okay. So foreigners are in a wait-and-see approach to see how what we do
I
and how we
so.
Do it. Okay.
And in the meantime, they've been selling heavily. So, of course, somebody's been buying those stocks. Mm. But nevertheless, we had a record-ever foreign sales day on the JSE. I think it was Tuesday, but a few days ago. 13 billion in one day. That's a lot to absorb. We can't do that for too many days in a row.
What are they selling? Everything?
SA Inc.
Yeah.
That is it. Sorry, we don't believe in your recovery prospects. I think it'll change a bit now, hopefully. But I think it will. You know, there's this deluge of it's going to get worse. It has to get worse. It doesn't have to. It can get better. We can get a leveling out base period. We may start putting in foundations from which a growth phase could occur in time.
What are the main concerns right now? I mean, we've been kind of on an overhang for a bit, right, Graham? So we've, let's put aside the global stuff. Locally, we've had issues around the local state-owned enterprises. We've been waiting for the election to happen. We've waited to see what those cabinet picks were going to be and what they were going to read as. Now they're here. What's the overhang?
So I think I take a slightly different view to Ian. I think, and if I may say, you're saying what's the SA story? I think we must realize that some of the selling is a global phenomenon. There's a lot more anxiety around. If you look our market in Rand terms, but the Rand hasn't actually moved that much over the last while. If you take dollar, pound, euro in the basket, we're down 6.5% on a 1 month view. If you look at China, it's down 7%. Hong Kong's down 8%.
Yeah.
Korea's down 7%. You know, even European markets are down 4% or thereabouts. So I don't think we can say, well, you know, let's say that's the global picture of what's happening in South Africa. And I think Ian's point about foreign selling, I'm often a little bit flippant, but I take the view that there are times when we buy great bargains from foreigners, and then 3 years later we sell them those same stocks at overvalued levels, because then suddenly everybody's rushing back through the gate. So I think there have been own goals in South Africa, policy and a whole lot of other things, and a lot of companies, frankly, have been really stupid. So almost 2 weeks ago, you know, the day before Sasol said we can't count and we can't manage projects and we've got $1 billion, just before I called that, you know, it looked as though things were right. But a lot of South African companies, truthfully, have messed up.
Mm.
And if you look, and I know statistics are not great, but if you look at the equally weighted top 40 index, on a three-year view, the index, forget dividends, is down 18%. You've got sort of the all share in the top 40 virtually perfectly flat. A lot of companies have deteriorated. The fundamentals have deteriorated. They've done really lousy deals internationally, and Sasol has wasted probably a lot of money in Louisiana, but I think they will start generating returns. The point that I'm trying to make is I think a lot of South Africans are trapped in a vortex of negativity.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing the fact that, truthfully, to your point, the elections went smoothly. The ANC got the majority that I think a lot of people felt would give President Ramaphosa the endorsement he needed.
The mandate, yeah.
The mandate. Yeah. And he's put together, I think, a cabinet that broadly appealed to the market. So my sense is that we must be very careful not to say, well, the trend is down and the trend is always going to be down. I think we must now look at the market and look at assets and be critical and say, this company is messing up. Management has, credibility is gone.
And I think that's the question I was going to get to, is that at what point do we get to go back to looking at individual company performance with SA Inc. shares, right? We spend a lot of time spending or talking about rand hedges. But when we look at those South Africa-focused shares, what are the things in the South African local environment that we're going to have to put aside and actually go, management, what have you done about debt? What have you done about corporate governance? We had many governance issues over the past few years. We've had companies just kind of going off, going rogue to a certain extent, going from being market darlings to being dogs to a certain extent.
And it's such an interesting question. Sorry, if I could just say, sure. What we've seen in the last month is a lot of the small caps that I sort of bang on about, the Grand Parades and the Ethoses and those guys have actually firmed up. You've seen a shift in the buy and sell demand, the balance. And it's the big caps that, the British American Tobaccos and the Sasols and, those giants that are really weighing. And I think one of the reasons is that quite often small companies can do, they can navigate those little channels, whereas the big oil tankers, they haven't got that ability. So I think the point that I'm trying to make is that you've got to look at the underlying business. You've got to look at, obviously, the fundamentals. Look at the debt, at the acquisitions. But I think my sense is the real performance is going to come from these small and mid-cap shares that have been ignored and left behind and have actually got the ability to say, well, we've been building, and my stock pick will be one. I don't want to talk to it too much, but we've been investing. We've been doing the basics right for years. We're a good, well-run business, and we're well-placed for the future.
All right. Did you want to pick up on that?
Well, I just put a personal comment in there. I come from a family who came to South Africa in 1820. Mm-hmm. Against incredible odds, they built a thriving, contributed to building a thriving country. And nowadays, there are a heck of a lot of people who say, this is home, and we're going to make it work. And I believe there's enough of that determination. In South Africanese, they say, a boer maak 'n plan. A farmer makes a plan.
Yeah.
And I do think there's enough of that sort of attitude to build foundations which will be long-lasting.
Okay.
But it's going to be a rocky road.
Let's look at some stocks. You mentioned Sasol. Willie says, what's the panel's view on Sasol? I mean, we'd crossed fingers, crossed our toes and everything about the spending on that Louisiana plant.
But they say too big to fail.
Mm.
The basic premise on which it was built, it was a question of timing, and can't always get that right. But the principle is fine. They're going to be producing a product for which there will be a global requirement. We hope it will still be there, but that's very likely. And we know the technology they've utilized is really tops. It will be made to work. And I think that there's an ability to make that work with South African abilities there.
All right. Dave wants to know, Graham, thoughts on AngloGold. Is it a buy around 170? And then we'll talk about Netcare, because he also says, with the recent damage done to Netcare, is this now a buying opportunity? But let's start with AngloGold at once.
Look, I'm not a big gold bug, but I think, and obviously AngloGold is looking at offloading their last SA asset. The rest of it, so I'm not a gold bull, but I looked at this and I thought, crikey, if they're going to get those cash costs to where they're guiding, then this is a business that you should have a look at.
Yeah.
But you can't get away from the fact that they still produce ultimately a metal that I can't tell you with any degree of conviction whether it's going to be at 1,000 or at 1,300 or at 1,500. But it looks like so much of a better placed business today than it has been at any point that I can remember having looked at it. Multiple geographies, they seem to be doing the fundamentals right, and there's less and less gold being produced.
Mm.
The question, though, is what drives gold? And truthfully, I can't answer that question. You know, is it an alternative currency? Is it an inflation hedge? Because inflation's not an issue.
Yeah.
You know, do people say, well, we're getting funding cheaply, we can take a punt on gold? I don't really know, but the gold price seems to be a little bit steadier. So
yeah,
just from what I saw and their guidance and where they believe they can get their costs and their production, it's looking a lot more interesting.
May I make a quick comment?
Yeah, please do, because we are in, I mean, people look at gold as an uncertainty play, right,
yes,
to a large extent.
But, you know, gold over the longer term now has been in a range between $1,000 and $1,400 an ounce. And it's, I believe it's something which is for trading, not necessarily for investing.
Okay.
And it's possibly gone past, for the time being, a bargain basement trading level.
Oh.
That would make me wait and see.
Okay. Netcare. Is it a buying opportunity with the recent damage done?
Phew. You know, it's become, I think, an oversupplied market to some extent in South Africa. And the results are just not that great. There seems to be this compulsion to say, hey, we can provide a service here, but we can do it even better elsewhere.
Mm.
I think that's a mistake. We should have stayed closer to our home base, and maybe that way we wouldn't have had that sort of, as we see in the chart behind that sort of nastiness if you look at the last month.
Yeah. And in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about Life Healthcare as well,
yes,
in a moment because of their interim results. But Netcare, your thoughts on that?
That price is telling you things are awful.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, the forced selling of some of the director derivatives, probably off leverage positions, has obviously caused a lot of pain. Now, that to me is an example. Obviously, General Hospital Group, we have no idea what, if anything, they'll get out of that. And then, to Ian's point, they can come back home and focus on hopefully on what's always been.
Yeah.
It looks to me as though they are completely oversold.
Yes.
The question, though, is what are you buying? There's still that sword of Damocles hanging over the whole sector around the competition investigation,
yeah,
and somehow they managed to kick that can down the road.
but it's still there.
One day it has to be faced. To me, so the recent guidance they gave us, it looked as though the South African operations were decent. You know, in fact, Life themselves, I think, investing in mental health. So the guys are trying to pivot. Out of all of them, the one that feels to me the one most compelling,
yeah,
and it hasn't fallen quite as much as that in the recent past, is Mediclinic. Because I get the feeling things are starting to come right in the Middle East. They've pivoted the business model in Switzerland quite significantly.
Okay.
So, and I think they're a well-run business as well. So out of all of them, that one feels to me the most compelling right now. But just looking
price
at that
wise
chart
as well?
Yeah. But I don't think you're going to get a massive turnaround. I think to Ian's point, it's not a massive growth in the insured lives in South Africa. There's definitely, both in South Africa, in Switzerland and elsewhere, a move towards day procedures, subacute and stuff like that. But the whole industry is adapting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just looks to me as though the best placed of the bunch for a recovering.
Okay,
and if you have a
Life Healthcare
shares,
down, what, net profit? Down 47% in the interim,
yes,
period.
But I was looking at it today,
mm,
and one of the reasons is a forex position they had on part of their foundation, which had to be settled.
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually a trading result. If you look at trading, that's down, I think, 4%.
Okay.
So this was an exceptional item that should be taken out for comparative.
All right, we're going to pick up on US MasterCard, a couple of questions on that, Astral Foods, Nampak, Fortress B. I do want us to talk about property stocks as well. There's a question on Redefine. So we're going to take a short break. Keep sending through your questions via SMS 241392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za to stay with us. Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at international markets. We start in the United States. So some data out today. We saw at quarter one GDP data, the rate of growth there in the United States, 3.1% on an annualized rate. And also the inflation weaker than anticipated. So it'll be interesting to see how the Fed interprets that in terms of the action going forward. Let's have a quick look at Europe. Those markets also saw a more modest rebound in risk appetite today. There's been lots of selling over the past while, so we've seen some pumping of money into safe haven bonds as well as into the dollar. The ECB set to turn on its money taps again in June, and there have been some trade worries, of course, so it'll be interesting to see how much money actually gets pumped into the system again and what that means for markets. Still with me in studio, Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective and Ian Cruikshanks from the South Africa Institute of Race Relations. Interesting what we're seeing with the trade wars and how that's influencing money flows yet again. I thought we'd forgotten the words QE and the pumping of money into the system, but there's all sorts of talk now, again, that we might see central banks putting money back into the system.
And what we also have to remember is that we're part of the global situation.
Yeah.
We're not an island in the middle of an ocean. And so wherever we see that, that circumstances are washing up against emerging markets, we're part of that and we're going to go with it.
Okay. Do we need more money in the system?
Oh, please, no. it creates such anomalies. And I think, you know, the U.S. reacted more quickly and more decisively. But still, I don't know what the balance sheet sits at now, but it went from $600 billion to $6 trillion, and they're slowly going to let it run off. But, you know, I'm sorry, I don't believe in the sterilization thing.
Don't
I'm too stupid. I'm too stupid to understand it. But I think my hypothesis has always been that we should have tried to normalize monetary policy as soon as we could, okay? Because, you know, it just makes no sense to have negative bond yields in quite a few geographies. And you know, now people are talking about, you know, the U.S. 10-year getting back to 2%.
Yes.
It wasn't long ago. It was at 3%. You know, it just feels unnatural. And on the short term, it's like giving the patient, you know, a shot of morphine and everybody feels fine. But the long term is...
When the morphine wears off...
Yeah. And I think the patient has actually unfortunately become addicted to the morphine. So markets, and I think even Donald Trump sees himself as the commander-in-chief of the Fed and is trying to tell Powell what to do. Mm. So I think it's desperate times.
Yeah. Yes.
I think the Europeans feel, okay, well, we were behind the curve. You know, we haven't seen the fiscal consolidation. We haven't seen the policies that should have happened to allow the ECB to do what it needed to do. But they'll do what they want to do regardless of say.
Biggest you can do that.
Yeah.
Staying overseas, there's a question from McDonald who says, panel's view on US MasterCard, entry point, and is it a buy?
I can't give you an entry point. I looked at all of them a little while ago. In fact, on my way here, I was listening to the audiobook, which is about financial inclusion at the bottom of the pyramid.
Mm.
A friend recommended I read it. And that's talking about, you know, the incredible shifts in technology in terms of mobile money and making transactions simpler and more accessible to the unbanked. But that will spill over into other markets. And I remember when I had a look at Visa, and I thought, okay, yeah, sure, they've got an open goal. There's lots more debit cards in issue. You're seeing the fees that the MasterCards and the Visas are collecting is on the decline, but there's an uptick in the volumes. When I looked at them, and who am I to question Warren Buffett, because he loves these companies, but it just felt to me as though the multiples were too high. And you were betting on the continuation of a trend. I think those businesses are actually, if you look 5-10 years down the track, quite vulnerable to technology shifts and disruption.
Okay.
So I don't know it well enough to give you a buying level. Right now, I would just sit it out. I think generally U.S. markets have been the poster child, and I'm a little bit anxious that if earnings start disappointing off a high base, you know, you're just telling us 3.1% GDP, alles ist lecker, as they say, but let's fast track a year and see where things are. And also where consumer spending is globally, remembering these businesses are global.
Coming back home, Ian Giel wants to know if Mr. Price is a buy after the huge fall.
In principle, it's a stock that one should have in any long-term, well-balanced portfolio. Is it a buy now? That's a difficult question. But I'd answer it by saying if one doesn't have them, one should have some of them. Because it's got management, it's got product, at the right price, and in time, I believe that they will stay ahead of the retail group by following this sort of formula. But to say this is a time to rush in and buy, it's at a relatively low price right now, which may be a time to have some.
And when you look at the broader sector?
No.
Stay away for a while.
That would be my view. Just look at private sector credit, at consumer confidence, at job losses. None of this inspires confidence in retail sector advancing from here.
Okay. Corne wants to know about Astral Foods. Says Astral Foods has potentially bottomed out on its 10-year support line. What is the panel's take on Astral at current levels? And, of course, recently, was it on Tuesday, actually, that they talked about the issues they had with the water in the municipality?
But you saw Quantum, and that I think speaks volumes about the state of the industry. So input costs probably going up. You know, I'm always amazed when people say, okay, well, it's a food producer. So, and everybody loves chicken. You know, chicken's the big protein in South Africa, so surely it must be defensive. And I say, I'm not so sure that's right. I think that industry is going through a very difficult time.
We get all those chicken imports from Brazil.
Yeah, the 60,000 tons.
And the U.S.
At almost a fraction of our production cost.
Yeah, and I think, if the trade deal we've got with America is nullified by
Trump,
our great friend across the pond, then, you know, all bets are off. So I would rather just sit that one out. If I could just very quickly come back, the question around Mr. Price, I think the valuation, the multiple is still quite demanding, probably quite exposed to the wrong end of the market right now. I think that Fushini executed very, very well on TFG, on the internationalization strategy, and the results, I think, look very, very good. So that's actually the one that I would rather look at right now.
All right. Very quickly, because we need to get to stock picks, but there's a question on Redefine Properties. So Corne says a prominent website indicates Redefine Properties is a definite sell. What's your panel's view on Redefine having fallen over 10% since its 5% LDT?
It doesn't matter how much it's fallen. It's how much it will grow. And if one looks at the commercial property field that they're primarily in, it's oversupplied, considerably oversupplied, and becoming more so. I was looking at a statistic today to say how much new retail space, for instance, was coming into the market. It's large, hefty, compared to what's already there. If we're going to double the current size of the retail potential spending, I think it's a sector to stay away from. And if interest rates are bottoming out now, there may be another hurdle for them to cover.
Okay. Briefly, property?
Still don't like it, and we haven't liked it for a long time. There are one or two that you can have a look at, but I agree with Ian. Big retail portfolios, I'd avoid them still. Although, if you look at long bond yields, have obviously come off. So the comparative argument, and if anything, maybe the Saab is actually now... We saw it in the split of the vote, is moving closer to a cut. But I think structurally they've got some big problems and they've got too much retail, and there is too much retail.
All right. Stock picks. I'll start with you, Ian.
I'm going to stick to cash because I believe that...
Under the mattress.
No, I've got not completely lost that much confidence in our banking sector. But I do believe that being sure of getting your money back at the end of a fixed period is the most important factor. That sort of security is very important. But the South African economy hasn't disappeared into a big black hole. It's still there, and it's going to operate. We've got great management, innovative and very able in difficult circumstances. They will pull it right in time. And at that stage, I want to have cash so we can get fully or maybe over-invested within the next 5 years. But there's no hurry.
There's no hurry. So you're that worried that you would rather stay liquid?
Yes, yes. Because I believe what we're going to see is where we had the Reserve Bank forecasting a 1% growth in GDP. Mm. I believe if one pressed them, that one would find them saying, and there is some downside potential.
Okay. And yours, Graham? Your stock pick?
Slightly different view. I think there's a lot of bad news already in the GDP numbers we get. And even if you talk about 2019, I think we know it's terrible. We look forward, and I'm going to go with City Lodge.
Okay.
So I think it's an incredibly well-run business, a well-placed business. You know, this business confidence, which is pretty much as low as it was after the GFC and, you know, the dot-com burst. I think you could see if the president is effective in galvanizing the country and we start actually seeing a little bit good news, which would be really nice, then suddenly business travel will start picking up and you'll see 60% occupancy rate go to 63%. But the thing that I really like is they've just carried on doing their thing, but they've built quite a few hotels elsewhere in Africa. Mm. So they've grown their balance sheets by, if you look at the property and plant, by almost 20%, and they haven't really earned returns out of that. So if you say, maybe not this year to June, but you fast track a year, maybe this thing gives you 9 or 10 rand of earnings. And in that scenario, you're buying a great company on an 11, 12 forward PE, and you're probably going to get a 4% dividend yield, but you get optionality. So I'm saying, I don't know, you know, maybe Ian's right. You just wait, you know, and somebody will phone you or somebody will ring a bell and say, now you buy. But I'm saying you're buying a good business with I believe the forecast risk on the upside rather than on the downside. And even if we don't have a beautifully enabling environment, I think the investments that they make will start bearing fruit.
May I just add something to Graham's argument? What I want to say is I'm not entirely on the other side. If one looks at low 60% room occupancy is about where the industry is at the moment now. At 70%, they're printing money.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps not even that high. At 55%, you know, they're really going down the plug hole. It's that sort of balance. So they're somewhere in between now. At least they're more than breaking even. But at least they've got foundations that are so strong and systems that are so strong. If it just improves by 3 or 4% in occupancy.
They're in the pound seat.
Yes.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah, thank you. That's one point.
Thank you very much to both of you for your time today. My guests, Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective and Ian Cruickshanks from SAIRR. We're going to take more of your stock-related questions next week. Have a great evening. Bye-bye. Stock picks. I'll start with you, Ian.
I'm going to stick to cash because I believe that
under the mattress.
No, I've not completely lost that much confidence in our banking sector. But I do believe that being sure of getting your money back at the end of a fixed period is the most important factor. That sort of security is very important. But the South African economy hasn't disappeared into a big black hole. It's still there, and it's going to operate. We've got great management, innovative and very able in difficult circumstances. They will pull it right in time. And at that stage, I want to have cash so we can get fully or maybe over-invested within the next 5 years. But there's no hurry.
There's no hurry. So you're that worried that you would rather stay liquid?
Yes, yes. Because I believe what we're going to see is where we had the Reserve Bank forecasting a 1% growth in GDP. Mm. I believe if one pressed them, that one would find them saying, and there is some downside potential.
Okay. And yours, Graham? Your stock pick?
Slightly different view. I think there's a lot of bad news already in the GDP numbers we get. And even if you talk about 2019, I think we know it's terrible. We look forward, and I'm going to go with City Lodge.
Okay.
So I think it's an incredibly well-run business, a well-placed business. you know, this business confidence, which is pretty much as low as it was after the GFC and, you know, the dot-com burst, I think you could see if the president is effective in galvanizing the country and we start actually seeing a little bit good news, which would be really nice,
yeah.
then suddenly business travel will start picking up and you'll see 60% occupancy rate go to 63%. But the thing that I really like is they've just carried on doing their thing, but they've built quite a few hotels elsewhere in Africa. Mm. So they've grown their balance sheets by, if you look at the property and plant, by almost 20%, and haven't really earned returns out of that. So if you say, maybe not this year to June, but you fast track a year, maybe this thing gives you 9 or 10 rand of earnings. And in that scenario, you're buying a great company on an 11, 12 forward PE, and you're probably going to get a 4% dividend yield, but you get optionality. So I'm saying, I don't know, you know, maybe Ian's right. You just wait, you know, and somebody will phone you or somebody will ring a bell and say, now you buy. But I'm saying you're buying a good business with I believe, the forecast risk on the upside rather than on the downside. And even if we don't have a beautifully enabling environment, I think the investments that they make will start bearing fruit.
May I just add something to Graham's argument? Of course. What I want to say is I'm not entirely on the other side. If one looks at low 60% room occupancy is about where the industry is at the moment now. At 70%, they're printing money.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps not even that high. At 55%, you know, they're really going down the plug hole. It's that sort of balance. So they're somewhere in between now. At least they're more than breaking even. But at least they've got foundations that are so strong and systems that are so strong. If it just improves by 3 or 4% in occupancy,
they're in the pound seat.
Yes.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah, thank you. That's one point.
Thank you very much to both of you for your time today. My guests, Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective and Ian Cruickshanks from SAIRR. We're going to take more of your stock-related questions next week. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.